Welcome to another episode of Four Tims and a Podcast. We've actually got a special guest today. We've got David Webb on the show. So, David, thanks very much for coming on.
No problem at all.
So, recently you were on another podcast with Hamish Carton. We spoke about your role in football, the kind of big names you've worked with, such as Pochettino, worked at Spurs, you've worked at Bournemouth, you've also worked abroad. Just for anybody listening who maybe didn't see that interview, can you give a kind of brief overview of what your role is and what you've done in football?
Yeah, so my previous roles in football have been a sort of combination of sort of coaching and scouting, and my last previous 3 to 4 roles have been sort of in management roles. So with Eddie Howe, was head of recruitment at Bournemouth from 2013 to 2015, and then head of elite identification with Pochettino at Tottenham, and then after that I was technical director at Austin, a club based in Sweden, then head of football operations, my most recent role at Huddersfield Town. Previous to that, sort of during my early career, had been working as sort of head of academy at Millwall, academy coordinator at Crystal Palace and at Tottenham again previously, and also did some consulting for Bayer Leverkusen.
So you've obviously got vast experience in football, as you mentioned, worked with the likes of Eddie Howe and Pochettino, who are two sought-after managers. I mean, Pochettino now managing PSG, who are probably the favourites to win the Champions League. And what was Pochettino like to work with? Obviously, a big success story at Tottenham, and he nearly won the Champions League.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible story. And I was lucky enough to work with Poch twice previously. I was at Southampton just as a full-time scout at the time. And after success I had at Bournemouth, I was lucky enough to work with him again as head of elite. And I would say, in my opinion, he's a world-class manager. Not only what he delivers to players and what he delivers on the pitch and the successes he's had at Tottenham and previous clubs, he's just all-round aura, and he's a man management of people in general, not just professional football players, like all staff all across the board at Tottenham, from your catering staff all the way through to board level. So I would say that's as well as his coaching skills, because his coaching was very intense, it was very detailed, it was very transitional, it was, you know, lots and lots of high quality attacking sessions. That's the way he likes to play, very sort of creative and attacking coach. But his man management skills were second to none. He was a class guy to work with.
Yeah, the previous Celtic manager before Neil Lennon was Brendan Rodgers, who's one, again, probably a world-class coach and, again, really big on man management. And we enjoyed a lot of tremendous success under Brendan Rodgers. Now through a kind of bad patch at Celtic for maybe 4 or 5 months, where the club are looking at a complete restructure, and a lot of people think we need a director of football to come in. What does a director of football do then? What is their real role in terms of working with, obviously, the CEO and also the manager?
Yeah, it's different at different clubs, and it all depends on the clubs, how they want to structure that particular role. So, for example, my role at Huddersfield was sort of head of football operations on the football side. So that was to work cohesively with sort of the, as you mentioned, the CEO, the owner and board management level, and to align the structures of what they wanted and how they see the club run with all across the footballing department. So that would be with a head coach or a manager, player recruitment, academy, medical, sports science, analytics, and I would say it would sort of even stretch down to sort of levels of, can be with these sort of roles, of sort of like training ground management as well. That was my particular remit at Huddersfield. It can vary from club to club. They can have more or less of involvement on the footballing structures, but I would say an effective one, especially at the bigger clubs, would have would drive the structure, would work cohesively with the head coach or manager. They work together, especially when it comes to, you know, decisions going forward. The head coach is always, or the manager is always, in charge of all the first team matters and picking the team, playing the team, implementing the style. The sporting director doesn't directly get involved in that. What he does is supports the structure of the club, which owners and board want. So if that's a particular playing style or philosophy they want to be portrayed as their club, and the head coach will fit that style, and he sort of, the sporting director will sort of work in between that and to ensuring that process is sort of well-driven, well-oiled, and hopefully successful going forward.
Yeah, just to go back to Brendan Rodgers, he did say recently about Celtic to kind of modernise the club, it would be a good idea for us to put a director of football in place. How important do you think it is to have that role at football clubs in the modern game? Because obviously the last 20 years, the game's evolved massively.
Yeah, it has. It was very much a European structure. Even back when I did some consulting work for Bayer Leverkusen in 2009-10, they had a sporting director in Rudi Völler. Sort of a, you know, a renowned name, and over the last probably 5-6 years, it's coming into the English, especially the English game, quite a lot. So a lot of Premier League clubs and Championship clubs are looking to have that role as a supporting structure, whether the title may be a technical director, a sporting director, director of football, however the club want to label it, if you like. And I think especially for big clubs, if you even look at the bigger clubs like in the Premier League, Liverpool have one, Man City have one, Everton have one, you know, Chelsea have one, Arsenal have one. And because the head coach or the manager job is the pressure and the expectations on them is so vast. They have to, you know, win titles in Premier League, get compete in the Champions League, win trophies. So the sporting director can sort of be a real supporting mechanism and help out, as I said before, help drive the process for them and help the club in general from all the footballing side of things. So for a club like Celtic, it seems like a viable option if they're gonna look to have that going forward, because definitely if they're gonna have sort of a new head coach or new manager, then it can definitely a sporting director can definitely help that process going forward and have an expertise in sort of other areas that maybe sort of the manager doesn't have and work closely together to bring success.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard you when you were talking to Hamish Carton, you were talking about obviously for yourself to get back into football, it needs to be the right project. What is the right project for yourself? What is it you would be actually looking for that would entice you to go to a club?
For me, it's always the long-term vision of the football club. So for a sporting director or that type of role, it would, you know, it's not a short-term option. It's a long-term project. It's to help build the club identity, help, as I mentioned before, the structures and implement some processes, and also have a good supporting structure coming through. So stuff like the academy to bring, you know, part of my background is in player recruitment and coaching. There's always, the first part of my career was always involved in the academy and youth section. So I'm a big firm believer of bringing sort of top quality academy players through to the first team, homegrown players. So having that process in place as well, where homegrown players were given the opportunity to, you know, to play when they're at the right time, at the right level. And again, that would sort of envisage with the long term process, because if you're looking at changing a football club, sometimes it's not always done overnight. But if you can build it over a long period of time and have success with some good supporting structures, I think that would sort of the type of club that would interest me.
Celtic, obviously, you mentioned youth development. Probably the biggest one that Celtic have had in recent times was Kieran Tierney, the academy, and now he's flying at Arsenal. He went for 25 million. And I think a lot of Celtic fans think Arsenal got a good deal with that. Mm. Also, Callum McGregor, who's a great player. We do have Letown. Maybe recently there's not been as many youth players coming through, but we have had that in the past where we've got that structure in place. Obviously, Celtic's European ambitions this year, we failed, unfortunately. We couldn't qualify for the Champions League. We were put out of the competition by Minnows, and then the Europa League was a bit of a disaster. Celtic are obviously a massive club, 60,000 season tickets, usually a sold out stadium out with the pandemic. I would hope the club now have ambitions to build a European, and obviously if we win the title next year, we would get automatic qualification to the Champions League. Is Celtic a club that would interest you if that was the kind of project?
Yeah, I think Celtic would interest a lot of ambitious, not just sort of sporting directors and head coaches, because it, like you say, it's a club that has very rich history. It's a massive club, like you say, 60,000 when it's at its capacity, ambitions to play in Europe, but to be in the sort of, you know, Champions League, to win the league consistently and to win other cup competitions. And given sort of the profile of the club and the attraction of the club, yeah, of course, I think it'd be, you know, you'd be silly not to sort of be interested in a role like that if it ever came available.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Just to go back to, obviously, Eddie Howe, who we know is a guy whose name has been linked with the Celtic job for a long time. He summed it up back in kind of 2019 when he was still at Bournemouth. I thought we should just have taken the money we got for Rodgers and just give it to Bournemouth to take Eddie Howe. Since then, obviously, he'd a kind of season at Bournemouth where they've been down, but overall, he'd a great kind of period there. What was he like to work with as a head coach?
Yeah, Ed was fantastic, and you know, what he achieved at Bournemouth over that period of time, from when they was languishing in League Two in the English leagues, you know, to get them all the way into the Premier League, you know, phenomenal achievement. And I joined Bournemouth in 2013 as head of recruitment to the club, and they just recently had good success in League One, had just come up, and the first season was just to stabilise the club and stay within the Championship, which they did. I think they finished eighth in the first year, and then the second year was phenomenal. We managed to get promoted, and Ed had a certain way that he wanted to play. He wanted a certain philosophy and a profile that he wanted Bournemouth to stick to, which was playing sort of really good, attractive, possession-based football. There's obviously loads of layers to that as well, but that was the sort of first and foremost. He was, you know, an excellent manager, very good communicator. I would say more like a really good coach and sort of almost like a teacher on the training field. Excellent at getting across his ideas and the way, very clear game model that he wanted the players to play. And also values of the club, of how he wanted Bournemouth to be represented and as a football club. And I think that was something, as members of staff, we all adhered to. And I had a good working relationship with Ed, because for me, we had very clear, as head of recruitment, it was very clear on the type of profile of players that we had to try and achieve. We wasn't the biggest club in the Championship at the time, so we had to be very sort of creative in the work we did. But we built sort of a profiling structure that was something which was just for us to understand how we recruit players into the way we work. So not just the playing style, the characteristic styles they had to fit into, certain personalities. Trait, and each player position profile had specific requirements that we had to look for. So that made our job as recruiters for Bournemouth a little bit easier. It's still not easy to recruit any football players, but it made it a little bit easier. And when you've got a clear vision of a football club, as Bournemouth did, and clear playing philosophy, clear values, clear processes going forward, it does make your relationship a lot easier. And my relationship with Ed was like an excellent working relationship.
Yeah, because there's so many clubs down south, we see the Championship, they'll come up for a season and then disappear and they'll never be seen again for another decade. But with Bournemouth, there was that kind of continuity. You must have been really proud to see Bournemouth, even after you left, that structure stay in place and then to compete in probably the best league in the world.
Yeah, they did phenomenally well. I think what was successful with Bournemouth was all those factors sort of mentioned before. But when they went into the Premier League, it was very clever recruitment in terms of the players that came in, and keeping the core of players that served the club so well through the Championship. They're very loyal to the players that have served the club so well. So it was keeping that continuity, keeping the structures, the playing style, and keeping the club on the same direction as it had been and served it so well coming up through the league. Just obviously adding more quality in terms of, maybe definitely in players to compete in the Premier League, and obviously tweaking some of the structures of the club as well to be competitive in the Premier League. But it was done in a very sort of clear and precise way that would give them the best chance to maintain Premiership status for as long as they did.
And even now, they're still battling to get back up to the Premier League, obviously, this season. So there's obviously still that structure in place. I mean, we lost Brendan Rodgers, he left the club, about 2 years ago. And obviously, a short period of time, things have went backwards in kind of every aspect. So now I think all the fans want the sporting director. Do you think the sporting director would help with continuity when a manager does leave, just to make sure everything still kind of flows?
Yeah, and that should be part of the sporting director role, would be that, especially in the modern day game where, things can change quite quick in terms of managers and head coaches, depending on, it is quite a results-based business, but a sporting director, his job, that would be his main role. To ensure that he understands not just recruiting, help recruit players into the club, but it's also staff as well, getting the right staff, and the head coach or the manager is very key to that. So if after a period of time a head coach was to depart a football club, the football club still retains the same values, it still wants to be seen wants to identify on a pitch a certain way, and then the job of the sporting director is to keep that, like you say, the continuity and the same sort of structure in place as well. So there is a change in terms of your manager or your head coach, that the successor, the privileged successor, is of similar values and a similar playing style and has the same sort of values and beliefs, because then it's going to keep definitely a continuity in your playing staff, a continuity throughout your club, and a continuity throughout your staff, which is, and also financially, it's, you know, it makes it a lot more viable to achieve for a football club if you've already got a long-term vision in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you were saying Bournemouth weren't actually the biggest club in the Championship when Eddie Howe was there, and obviously weren't anywhere near the biggest club in the Premier League. A bit different to Celtic, because
I'm
a massive club. Do you think Eddie Howe would be a good fit for Celtic, as opposed to anything else? Just, do you think that his philosophy would fit Celtic?
I mean, as a playing style, his philosophy is very, you know, he plays a very attractive brand of football. And if you were talking about your previous successor, Brendan Rodgers, it's quite similar in some aspects. It'd be very clear. It'd be very sort of possession and attacking base. So I think if that was a decision that Ed was looking to go into, it would definitely be something that he would bring to the club, is that, you know, that clear identity and that clear playing style. That's something that would definitely Celtic would have if that was something, you know, that Ed was going to choose to do in the future with Celtic. But obviously, man management, you can't speak highly enough of Ed, and working with him, you know, really enjoyed that time working with him. So he's obviously got his own thoughts and, you know, thoughts and feelings of where he sees himself in the future, which unfortunately I'm not privy to. But If that was the case, and Celtic did attract someone like Eddie Howe to the club, then yeah, I'm quite sure I think the fans and sort of the management would definitely be pleased of, you know, what they would see in terms of style and identity on the football pitch.
Yeah, I think what you said there is kind of drawing the similarities between him and Brendan Rodgers. And as much as Brendan Rodgers left to go to Leicester, what he'd built and what we achieved in that period of time was unbelievable. It was some of the best days of our lives as Celtic fans. So I think that's probably the attraction to Howe, is he quite similar to Rodgers? I've also got Andy on the call, who just wanted to ask a few quick questions, so I'll put him on.
Okay. Hi there, David. Yeah. Really fascinating and listen just to an insight there. It's like a guy like yourself who's worked at so many different clubs and achieved so much. But something that's I wanted to know, and obviously you'll have experience sort of working even in foreign countries with clubs, it's sort of how important do you feel it is that clubs and people in roles like your own in management sort of help new players coming into the club sort of integrate both to, obviously, because sometimes with foreign players moving to a foreign country, it's a different way of life. Like, do you feel it's of sort of more emphasis should be put in that now? Because I think I often see it when you look across, and it's a lot of teams across Europe, it seems to be that a lot more emphasis is put on sort of welcoming these players in and the club going over and above to make them feel welcome. Do you think that's something that British clubs, if you like, should sort of put more emphasis on?
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of the game, you know, player transitioning off the pitch once they've signed for the club. And I think, especially in my role, some of the roles that I've had before, a lot of work went into the background of players in terms of, especially when it comes to close to signing, that we knew as much information, not only about the player, but about the family. If they was, like you said, coming from a different country or, you know, a different city, and they had to acclimatise, that we knew as much information about their sort of personal situation as much as we can. Because especially if you're going to, you know, pay money for a player, expectations from fans and even within the club and the player himself is to come in and perform well straight away. So you have to give him the best possible chance at success, and to do that, it's not only to make sure that obviously the footballing platform is right for them, that the outside background as well. So even little things, to know a little bit about their family and about their kids, like if you can help with schooling structures, if you can help with sort of if there's a language barrier or even particular areas, you know, or you know that they would like to live in your suitable club. Those sort of things can really help a player transition quicker into a football club rather than sort of coming in and not knowing too much about that, and obviously have to worry about his family back at home. So I think as much as you can do around that will definitely help the player's success on the pitch.
Definitely. I think particularly obviously with the pandemic and everything, it's probably put more emphasis on that. And I think that even just looking at sort of Celtic this season, we brought quite a few players in, and so at the start of the transfer window, from being a fan's perspective, and a lot of people seem we'd done well. I mean, a lot of the players that we brought in maybe have not performed in a way that a lot of people had hoped, and sort of between us ourselves and the podcast, we often have discussions and we think that's maybe maybe something that could be a reason. And it's something that we feel going forward, Celtic should sort of modernise in that aspect. It's obviously interesting to hear for yourself, someone who's got experience in that. The other thing I wanted to ask was just a bit, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, you've done a lot in football. So for you, what's been your proudest achievement? Because, I mean, you've been part of Bournemouth, who what they've done was incredible. A similar project, if I'm not mistaken, in Sweden, sort of how you assisted those guys. And they were playing European football at a stage, which is crazy to think. Like, what's been your sort of proudest achievement so far in doing all that? And again, going forward, so is it a similar task in terms of you'd be interested in taking a smaller club, if you like, up? Or is it building on something that is already in place, but making it and taking it sort of beyond the boundaries of what the club currently maybe believed was possible in the past?
Yeah, a really good question. I don't really have one set like achievement. I've got, you know, just some ones which I suppose that, you know, that give me sort of quite a proud feeling. And that would be, you know, in terms of sort of player recruitments, young players like Wilfried Zaha, seeing him from a young 11-year-old playing park football to where he's progressed now has been, you know, phenomenal, because his journey wasn't easy. Bournemouth, which we built over that 2-year period, and winning the championship to go up in the Premier League in such a short space of time and on a moderate budget, again, a fantastic achievement. And to be part of that team was, you know, I was very lucky. Even at Tottenham, moving on to the first season, my first season, they were very close to winning the Premier League. And again, Tottenham was a very big club. You know, had fantastic facilities, fantastic manager, some really world-class players. But in terms of recruitment, we wasn't recruiting the likes of players that Man City and Chelsea and Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool could compete with. So again, that was an achievement in itself, to maintain Champions League status and to finish second and third respectively in the time that I was there. Even those achievements were very good. And being part of Östersund, recruiting some of the players that have done really well there and being part of their success was good. And I think just working my way up through the game, from working, you know, back in 2002 when I was started out as a sort of an academy coach to my position now, I think, and going through different failures and setbacks, they're all really good achievements to come through. So I suppose I've got quite a few to draw on there.
Absolutely. But as I said, there's just a couple of questions I had for you, so I'll just pass it back to Tony. But cheers again, that's been a great insight.
No problem.
Just before we kind of wrap it up, just obviously Celtic, as I say, we've kind of failed in Europe and we think we should be doing better. If you were to go into Celtic, what do you think something the club need to change, or what would be the big thing for you that you think Celtic need to improve on in order to get to, say, a semi-final of a Europa League? What is something Celtic would need to do to achieve that, do you think?
Well, that's a very, very difficult question. It's very difficult to answer from the outside in without knowing the club and the structures and the stuff they have in place. And to get, even in Europa League now, the teams that, you know, that compete in that arena, you're still talking a lot of, you know, top bordering on world-class teams. So it's, you know, it's an incredible feat for any club to get into those later stages of those European competitions. I think having, you know, stability will help any club, and having sort of that identity and a clear playing style philosophy, which is embedded over a period of time. Because I think once players become familiar with that consistency and they know exactly what, you know, the role of their role is within the team, and they're definitely the playing style going forward, it definitely helps because it obviously breeds confidence and it breeds continuity. So those two things can definitely help, you know, any football club looking to go forward into those later stages, not just Celtic in particular, because I think to get to those later stages you mentioned, like the semi-final, would be an incredible feat for any club. So for Celtic to be competing on those, yeah, definitely to have their own identity, their own structure, their own sort of playing styles, which I'm sure they look to have and looking to build towards over the next few months.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why I said semi-final. It was just the first thing that came to my head. It's just obviously we did get to the UEFA Cup final back in 2003, and then since 2004 we've not actually managed to win a post-Christmas knockout tie, which just isn't good enough for a club like Celtic as far as we're concerned. So we are hoping the club go in a direction whereby the sporting director comes in with a really good head coach, and then we obviously look to improve. We'll soon see who that will be. It's a very exciting time. But I'd just like to thank you a lot for coming on. It was a great insight into the role, and I can't thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure talking to you guys. Baby, won't you come to bed?
but I cannot sleep while the sun's away.